Christian, welcome to each one. It's a blessing to be here. Glad for the visitors that are here. Glad you made a choice to worship with us this morning. God's been very good to us in giving us this pleasure to worship. I have a little something here as an object lesson. Now, children, this morning, I will need your help a little bit. This is a pretty popular thing right now, isn't it? What do we call this? What do we call this, children? I'm trying to look. What do we call this? It's a box. There's millions of them right now. Anybody can tell me what it is? Yes, Christmas gift. Yes, and that's there's probably many millions of those in houses right now, laying around. They look nice. Wife did a real nice job with this. Kind of hate to even open it, but so Americans are gifting each other a lot of gifts. They say that it's between 900 billion to a trillion of gifts. And they say 65% of the gifts go to family and co-workers, and 23% is the candy and the decorations, and 12% is the non-gift, is travel and all this. It reaches up to $1 trillion. They say that there's $6 billion spent on Christmas trees alone. Well, this festive atmosphere, we see it all around, whether we drive through town or go to Longwood Gardens, the lights, the gifts that are wrapped attractively. What it does is it kind of hides some or distorts some facts about Christmas gifts. And we'd like to open this to make a point to where will the gifts be eventually. So I need a volunteer to come and open this for me. We have somebody that likes to open gifts. Who wants to come and open this? Maybe a first grader or second grader, or maybe even a preschooler if you can handle that. Who'll come? No volunteers? Everybody's too shy? Who are the first graders? Second graders? We got somebody here that'll open this for me. Make an appointment. Maybe Quindell, you want to come and open it? No, I didn't have this problem at Kirkwood last Sunday. Will you open it? You won't open it. Well, listen, children, if you get Christmas gifts, I don't want you to open them either. You just let them sit there, okay? Now, who else can I pick on? Ronald Lee's son there. I see you hiding behind Gary. Will you come and open it? You want to come and open it?
Me?
Yes. Yeah, okay. All right. Let's see what's in it. You're gonna have to destroy some of that to see what's inside there. But this will give us some answers to where some of these gifts are going to be in a couple years. It's pretty tough stuff there, huh? gotta be a, it's just tape somewhere. Take that out. Okay. All right. Well, we'll need that then. But the point is, a lot of these Christmas gifts that people are excited about, thank you, will eventually be broken. They will be broken. A lot of them will not work anymore. You know, there's probably a lot of this kind of stuff that people are going to get. Eventually, it's not going to work anymore. It's going to be broken. They're going to forget what they even got. A lot of it will eventually not, it'll get old and rusty and not work. This doesn't turn. It's going to wear out. Another thing, that a lot of this stuff will not necessarily go bad, but they won't like it because it's not in style. And these are glasses I used to wear, and I liked them. I have quite a few like this, but you know, I don't want to wear them anymore because they're not. Yeah, people would laugh at me, I guess. And that's how a lot of things are that are Christmas related. A lot of this stuff will go out of style, and they won't want it, won't be interested, don't want to hang it in the wall anymore, don't want to wear it. But the point is that this is man's gifts that people are spending, Americans, what did I say, $900 billion to $1 trillion. And a lot of them will eventually be broke. They will wear out. They will go out of style. And what I'm encouraged about this morning is God's gifts. And that's what we want to talk about, is the title, God's Gifts. God's gifts, they do not break. God's gifts don't wear out. And God's gifts will not go out of style. And that's what's so exciting about God's gifts. And we need to get more excited. One brother in the Sunday school lesson mentioned we should be a little more excited about this tabernacle study. Well, there's a lot of things that we should get excited about more. Because we have God's things that will not get rusty. They won't be stolen. Thieves won't break through and steal. They won't corrupt. So I have some things in here. This is just a plain paper bag. But it illustrates some things that God has given us. And we are so blessed with what God has given. We're going to just mention some of them this morning. And children, I need your help. I could actually have a volunteer to help get some things out of this here. If one of you wants to do that, that would be good. But if not, I can do that. Do I have another volunteer yet? All you have to do is pull things out of the bag when I want it. Any volunteers at all? We have a shy group, which that's not all bad either. But what's the first gift? And I thought about this last year. I believe Mr. Brubaker had the devotions and asked the children about the first Christmas gift. What is the first Christmas gift that God has given? Maybe one of your children can say John 3:16. Children, why don't we say it together? For God so loved the world. Now, come on, we can say this together. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever, sir, believeth in him shall not perish. Thank you. So what is it? What did God give us? For God so loved. That is the gift that we need to get excited about. God so loved. Agape love is amazing. You know, the rest of God's gifts wouldn't be if it wasn't be that God looked on man and had love. And he had pity. Because we were unable to reciprocate love back. But he loved us anyway. He said, oh, those dear people need help so badly. Would we be willing to give up everything to keep God's love? Is God's love really precious to us? It's a tremendous gift. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Talks about another gift. This is all very closely related. And secondly is Jesus Christ. But the first 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Unspeakable gift, which is another way of saying that would his undescribable gift. We could also say his gift, which is precious beyond words. Jesus is amazing. And we need to, thank you, continue to believe that, embrace it, that Jesus is just amazing. And he can be a Christian's best friend. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, you should know Jesus. He is the one to know. We read about him in the Gospels, and there's stories, many stories of Jesus and how he related to people and how he encouraged people, how he challenged people. Luke chapter 13 is a story of when he healed the woman that was sick for 18 years, and Jesus told her, he said, woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. But then there was somebody there that was critical and said, wow, you shouldn't have done this on Sunday. This isn't good at all. There's 6 days that men ought to work. And you shouldn't do this. Well, Jesus said, thou hypocrite. He said, you hypocrite. If your oxen has a problem, you'll loose it. You'll lead it to a way for watering. Ought not this woman be as a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound in these 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, his adversaries were ashamed. That was Jesus, and he did that every day. He always got it right, every time. And we can know this Jesus. We can have a relationship with Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, you should know him. Thirdly, thinking of God's gifts to us is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift. That is wonderful. Jesus told people, before he left, he said, now wait for the promise of the Father. He said, there's a gift coming, and just wait. And what's going to happen because of this gift is coming? Well, you're going to have power to do the right thing. You're going to receive power, and that's the power to do the right thing. And you're going to receive power to remember what I said. And you're going to receive power to be witnesses. He also says that Jesus told them that you're going to receive a comforter. John 14, verse 26 says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." The Holy Spirit is just amazing. It also brings conviction to us when we do wrong. Someone says, "You know what? You shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be thinking that. You shouldn't be looking at that." And then the Holy Spirit brings us to a point of making decisions, whether we want to repent or not, whether we want to keep on looking or keep on thinking wrong or keep on stealing or drinking or whatever it is. What would you exchange for the Holy Spirit? Would you exchange the Holy Spirit in your life for, say, suppose you could get a $2 million, $5 million, if you would just exchange the Holy Spirit in your life for 1 year? Would you consider that? Or is the Holy Spirit, which is God's gift to us, just really, really precious to you and to me? The Holy Spirit is a priceless treasure. It is. It is wonderful that what it is God sharing a little bit of himself with us. And that's incredible. That's amazing that God would do that. That he would share a little bit of himself with us to help us go right. Fourthly, another gift is salvation. Salvation. Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the what? It is the gift of God." Salvation. Another treasure. Another gift from God. Amazing gift. Do we deserve the gift of salvation? No, we don't. It's this cross of Jesus that has given us a path away from hell. The cross of Christ has created a path from the heat, the smell, and the fire of hell. We need to think about hell more than we do. Make it a practice when you see fire. Oh, think of hell. That's where I will go if I don't have Jesus. Salvation is a precious gift, which we need to thank God every day that we have the gift of salvation to be saved from eternal damnation. Let's turn to 2 Peter 1:21 for the fifth gift that we'll call a gift from God. 2 Peter 1:21, and I call this the Bible. "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." The Bible is an amazing treasure from God. And this one is a precious Bible because it's a Bible, but it's a little extra special because it's Chad's Bible. It's a Bible that came here to this church. And there's more than a Bible in here. He took notes, a highlighter, and his Sunday school book from that time. But the most important is it's God's holy word. It's God's message to us. It gives an answer to the most important things in life. It's the answers are not in internet and YouTube and all that, podcasters, whatever. Brethren and sisters, you can figure out life from this book. And it needs to be our go-to. It's God's holy word. Some people say it contains God's word. No, it's God's word. It stands apart from all other books. And God's word is inspired in its entirety. It's not just some portions of it, so that we need to search and see what God is, the pieces of, oh, this means it's for today. It's totally inspired by God. Think about it, that we have a book in our hands from the one who we owe our existence to. It's so foolish to ignore God's letter to us, God's message to us, and pay more attention to God's or men's gifts that will rust and break and wear out. Pay more attention about those things, and to talk more about these things than God's gifts, you know, really, it doesn't make sense, does it? We need to get excited about the Bible. We need to talk about the Bible. And we can learn to know God through the Bible. And we can learn to know His will for our life through the Bible. And that's incredible. We need to embrace the Bible, love it, every day of our life. Think about it, that the Bible gives us answers for the one who made us. Think about it, that a lot of us did not exist 60 years ago. Just a few people here. Majority of us are less than 60 years old. That means in 1960, none of us were around. We just were not. The fields and even some of the trees and stuff around were here, but we weren't. God has a plan for our life, and it's in the book. Sickly is another gift that we have is history. This is a martyr's mirror, and it tells us some things that happened. I like this book. It was given to us on our first anniversary from Mom and Dad. But the gift of history is a real wonderful thing. What if God would have us made that our memory would just be wiped clean every 10 years because we just can't retain all that information? You know, history is a gift from God. We need to know God's history of working with His people. That was our Sunday school lesson. That's the treasure, that we see how God has worked with people in the past. And also church history. This is some church history here. And there's also family history. We should be interested in that. We should not be foolish and despise history. History is a gift to be treasured. And young people, as you grow and mature, you'll probably agree with that more and more. I hope so. Seventhly is another one of God's gifts is the church. Just bring some visuals along here. This is the Mennonite Church Directory. It's a list of many Anabaptist churches. Those that sprung from actually the martyr's mirror, those that gave their life. But the church is such a blessing. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That is a wonderful promise to the church. It's divinely instituted. Turn to Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah 62, verse 3. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. The Church of Christ is the body of true believers in this present dispensation. The church is a gift to us. You know, what if there was no such thing as a minister or deacon or communion or Christian fellowship or a Christian wedding or a funeral? You know, we have this struggle of having a low view of the church. And it's Satan that plants those seeds in our heart, in our mind, I should say, to try to not be too excited about the church. And my appeal to each of us that we have a high view of the church. The church is precious. What does the Bible say? It shall be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of thy God, God's people. Let's appreciate the church. Let's promote the mission of the church. And that mission, of course, is to glorify God. Secondly, it's to have sound doctrine and practice. Because if we don't stay true in doctrine and practice, then we'll be winning people to something false. Of course, being evangelistic and spreading the good news. What was done Thursday night, praise the Lord, it's about evangelism to the world. God leads his dear children along. He really does. And we need to keep looking to him. He will make a way for the church, even in the end times. We may have some fear and wonder, well, what is this going to come to? But God will take care of his people in some way to the very end. Eighthly is family. Family is another one. Now, this one may not stay, but we could have a lot of different pictures that we could put there. But family is a gift from God. And we should treasure it. Children, grandchildren and grandparents and cousins and uncles and aunts. It grieves me when I hear of just not even interest, maybe even to go to a family gathering. We need to treasure family. We need to show respect to the older ones in the family. You know, baby born is an amazing thing. And that's why we have a family reunion. There was a baby born. And now we're together. Some have God has given life to. We need to value family and cultivate relationships, go to family gatherings. And we need to whisper to God, thank you for my family. And things won't be perfect. There'll be needs. There'll be problems. You know, the very first family produced a murderer. Very sad situation. And every generation will need to decide what to do with truth. And we're reminded of that when we go to a broad family gathering. And we wonder what, you know, why can't we make choices for people? But we can. We in our circle of influence, we're at the center of that. We can control ourselves. I believe another encouragement would be to have strong marriages. A keystone of God's family life is good marriages. We need to do our part. Because that's, and for many of us, it's something that we can control. Ninthly, another gift is creation. Creation is an amazing gift. And I brought a few books along. Unlocking the Mysteries of Creation. There's so many. There's a book on just the sale. Of course, with this book, The Fossil Record, I think of Mel Weaver, someone that took an interest in fossils and came here already and shared. Amazing gift to God. You know, we as sin-prone people, we don't deserve the beauty of this world. We don't deserve it. It's so beautiful. All the colors, the sunsets, just a few days ago, it was just startling. And I think some of us sometimes text our families, look at the sunset. The canyons, the mountains, the rivers, the oceans, the bald eagle, even the deer with the big rack. The fertile ground that produces 250 bushel corn per acre. You know, we don't deserve it. Brothers and sisters, what we could maybe deserve is maybe a six-color world. We don't deserve all the food, all the kinds of meats. We only deserve maybe a few. We need to thank the Lord for this gift of creation that we can enjoy. We need to study creation and marvel at it. I'm glad to hear that at times. Someone told me of someone that just started a interest in birds, and he's going to schools and talking about birds, and he's just done that in the last 10 or 15 years. But I believe God gets glory when we buy that microscope or buy that telescope and to check into what God has made, and that we marvel at God. It's one way, I believe, as we take an interest in the creation, I believe it's one way to say thank you, God, for the world that we live in. Well, tenthly is heaven. Heaven is another wonderful gift of God. Jesus said before he sent it back home, in my Father's house are many mansions. Many mansions. Your heaven will be a square cube. It will reach from here to Florida and from here to the Midwest. It'll be a square cube of beauty that's uncomprehensible. It will be out of this world place. Sorrow will be banished. There will not be one problem to deal with in heaven. There will be no clocks. There will be no medicine cabinets. There will be no light switches, no candles. Revelation chapter 22, verse 5 says, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. You know, asphalt will be a distant memory. It will be only gold that meets God's standard. This morning, brethren, sisters, friends, children, young people, we can go there. We can go there. We can plan to go there. I think about that. That's an amazing possibility. It's an amazing opportunity. That no matter what my situation, whether I'm in bed because I've been paralyzed from the neck down, and I heard of somebody recently, they were going down the road, hit an ice patch and spun around, rolled or whatever, and he's paralyzed. That could happen to us. Bad things happen. But brethren and sisters, there is a place that's called heaven that is under construction right now, and it's an amazing opportunity. So no matter what your situation is, whether you are paralyzed, whether you are homeless or depressed or sick or weak or discouraged or lonely, we have this possibility of eternal existence in heaven, where there's no rental fees. There's just no deadlines whatsoever. Jesus wants people to go to heaven. I believe he's grieved by the billions spent on gifts and how people are getting distracted with a lot of things that are just gonna, in the end, make a bigger fire for the end of the world. And he's saying, I want these people to go to heaven. That's what I want. I want them to enjoy earth a little less and look forward to heaven. Jesus wants everyone to go to heaven, but there's many that have chosen otherwise. Jesus says, few there'll be that make it. And that's because the path is restrictive to heaven. It's restrictive. Jesus told John the Revelator that he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That's in Revelation 21:7. He that overcometh. And then verse 8, we have a whole list of bad things, and it says that these people will go to the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But then the verse 7 is that we can be, those that overcome shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That is a wonderful promise, and something that should excite us. It should stir our heart that we as Christians today want to be an overcomer. Because if we're an overcomer, we're living for God, and we're living above sin. That means that's what we're talking about, overcoming the flesh and the pull of sin, and we're living in victory in Jesus. I will be his God, and he shall be my son, and we'll be with him forever. So, in conclusion, you know, each one of these gifts from God that we tried to illustrate, and there's many others, are for our enjoyment. And they're free. They will not rust, they will not break, they will not go out of style. So I encourage us that we thank God. Thank God for his many gifts that he has given us. And let's get a little less excited about the gifts of this world that are going to fade away and pass away. And I believe if we can do that, I believe we will be the better from it. Let's kneel for prayer.